Carolyn Adams?
Here.
Nolan Morgan? Eric Mott?
Here.
Tim Olson?
Here.
Scott Russer?
Here.
Dave Russell?
Here.
James Truen?
Here. Thank you. It looks like we have a set of 4 minutes dating back to early May. May 9th, June 3rd, June 17th, and July 1st for approval. Am I correct? I think I'm correct. And I'm assuming I can we can approve these collectively as opposed to individually. Do I have a motion to approve these 4 sets of minutes?
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, great. Tonight's agenda is a conceptual design conference for the 460 Central Way mixed-use project. Before we embark on that, is there anyone here tonight that has an issue not having to do with that project? Okay, great. Then we'll go ahead. Do we have any other unfinished business? Looking here at Jeremy and John? No? Okay. All right.
All right. Good evening. I'm John Regala with the City of Kirkland Planning Department, project planner for this project. And tonight is a conceptual design conference for the 460 Central Way project. File number is DRV13-01569. So the subject property is located at 460 Central Way in downtown Kirkland. The existing site contains a Wells Fargo Bank. To the north are the Park 54 condos. You have Central Way, 5th Street. Across the street to the east of the Terra Apartments, one-story restaurant, Acropolis Pizza Place. And then to the south, you have kind of Park Place here, and then Peter Kirk Park in this proximity here. Now the applicant is proposing to construct a new mixed-use building on the parcel. Contain about 9,000 square feet of ground floor retail space along Central, wrapping around to 5th in this location. About 90 condo units in the upper floors, and then parking. You have access off of 5th here, somewhat on at grade, but then one story of parking below, in a parking structure. As far as the process goes, tonight is the initial meeting for this project, the conceptual design conference, where the design review board will provide feedback on how our design guidelines apply to the project, as well as to inform the applicant of what's needed as we move forward to the design response conference, which is the public meeting for this project. There will be additional review in terms of a building and grading permit, and with that review, we'll review for the environmental review, which is SEPA, and primarily a lot of the issues there usually typically revolve around traffic and pedestrian safety. A little bit on the zoning. So the subject property zone CBD7, which is basically this kind of zone here, to the north where you saw those townhomes. It's a PLA 7B, which is a high density residential zone. To the east, you have another central business district zone 6, a little bit taller height limit in this zone. And then to the south, you have Park Place, which is a maximum height limit 60 to 115 feet. Again, you have Peter Kirk Park. I'm going to touch briefly on the key zoning regulations for CBD7. As far as permitted uses are, a retail restaurant is required along Central and 5th. Residential and office uses are allowed, but they need to be kind of tucked back behind the ground floor retail restaurant, if it's on the ground floor, but they're allowed on the upper stories. As far as setbacks go, it's a 20-foot setback from Central and 5th, where one story of ground floor retail may encroach up to the property line. And then also in terms of the setback at the upper story, the design review board may allow minor variations as long as it results in a superior design based on our guidelines, and there will be no detrimental effects to the city or the area of the project. As mentioned in my staff report, the applicant has mentioned that they are anticipating a setback reduction similar to the Crab Cracker and the Chevron site properties or projects. In terms of height, 41 feet is the max. You get 8-foot bonus for a 4-12 pitch here. As far as the land use buffer goes, code does require a 15-foot landscape buffer along the north line where adjoining the townhomes to the north. And then with the proposal to push the retail to the street with a 0-foot setback, the code does allow 100% lot coverage. We also do require a tree retention plan, similar to what we did with the Crab Cracker, in terms of looking at retention of the existing significant trees. And that will be prepared by the applicant. The applicant will need to submit that, and that's prepared by a certified arborist. So with the conceptual design conference, as I mentioned earlier, the DRB should start to discuss and provide feedback to the applicant on what's needed as we move forward to the design response conference, and also to determine how our guidelines apply to the project. A couple things here. So I did, in terms of public comment, I did forward an email that we received over the weekend from a Ms. Berenson, so I did provide a hard copy for you tonight. And then I'll go through these really quickly, but I did provide basically a handout of these discussion topics as you deliberate tonight. So basically there's four categories. The first is scale. So looking at how you know the architectural and human scale can be applied to the building, as well as determining kind of the overall massing for the project and how that can be mitigated in terms of vertical, horizontal definition, etc. The second topic is pedestrian orientation and really identifying where the key pedestrian areas or places on the property and how the building should be treated to reflect those pedestrian areas. The third is access, both vehicular and pedestrian. I think that's pretty straightforward. And then lastly it's landscaping, and really just with this is trying to determine opportunities for on-site landscaping for the project. So that pretty much concludes my presentation. The other thing I want to mention down here below is if the DRB can start to provide some initial feedback to the applicant in terms of what you would like to see as far as a minor or the setback reduction requests in terms of graphics, etc. Staff will be providing more of the quantitative background information, like what we approved over next door with the Crab Cracker project and the White Swan Car Wash project, to give you a reference. But in terms of graphics and things like that, it'd be helpful for the applicant to know. So unless there's any questions, I'd like to turn it over to the applicant.
For the benefit of the record, my name is Eric Evans, and I'm with Polygon Homes Northwest. With me today is Holly Smith from Polygon Homes, Scott Thompson from Weber Thompson, Jeff Reedman from Weber Thompson, Austin Bess from Weber Thompson, and Amanda Keating from Weber Thompson. You may know us. We are the master developer for South Kirkham Park and Ride. I'm very excited to bring the team from South Kirkham Park and Ride to redevelop the 460 Central Way project. It's a very exciting site, lots of neat amenities, lots of neat characteristics, and we look forward to develop a market-rate condominium project with a thriving retail component that connects downtown to the corridor on Central. And with that, I just thought I'd turn it over to our architect.
Thanks, Eric. Thank you. My name is Austin Bess. I'm with Weber Thompson. Wanted to thank you for your time tonight and attention towards this project. We're really excited to begin the dialogue about how to shape this project to be the best it can be. As Eric stated, some of the development objectives, we're looking for 90 condominium units, and we feel the evolution and ambitions of this business district can really support that type of project. We're proposing 9,000 square feet of retail space at the ground level, really connecting and really filling in the site here along Central Way and connecting the pedestrian and commercial activity from the west to the east. This neighborhood, immediate neighborhood around the site, is really characterized by commercial amenity as well as this really great residential livability. And we want to shape a project which speaks to that duality, this kind of more commercial zone right adjacent to the residential zone. Some of our other priorities are as much outdoor space as we could provide and real sensitivity towards landscaping and tree retention. You can see here, our site is located in this high aerial. What you'll find as I describe this project is we really have a lot of commercial sites down to the south. There's a lot of larger sites. And to the north, we really have a lot more residential character, a lot more granularity of their smaller parcels. And we really want to shape the building to respond to these neighborhoods. Again, talking about the kind of duality between commercial and residential, this is a diagram illustrating the various zones that John touched on earlier. We have commercial zones, which has the ability to go very tall, very kind of ambitious height and size down there. And then again to the north, lower residential type zones. John already did us the benefit of showing us this slide, kind of showing our maximum envelope. Just to touch on a couple things, we want to take advantage of the flexibility within the zoning code to achieve the greater height. As you know, if we work in a 4-12 roof pitch, we can achieve an extra 8 feet of height, bringing us to a total height of 49 feet. Another major thing that we are proposing is pushing our entire retail base, our entire ground floor, back 10 feet off of our southern property line. This is to provide the best pedestrian access to the site as possible. And also we feel like you're going to hear me talk about just the luxurious street trees and on-site trees that we have. And we really want to pay respect and be sensitive to these street trees that are so mature and established already that we're just going to hold our building all the way back 10 feet and not try to bring it out to encroach upon that space. As John mentioned, there's the 20-foot front yard setback along Central. That also applies to Fifth. So we'll be bringing our upper levels back 20 feet from our own property lines. Our north property line has a really unique configuration up there in that there are so many well-established evergreen trees. And these trees provide a buffer to the Park 54 condominiums up there. We really want to be sensitive to our neighbors as well as these trees. And we're going to constrict our own development potential and bring our building 20 feet off of our north property line as well in an effort to retain these trees and provide a really great buffer to our immediate neighbors to the north. John also showed this aerial view. Really what we wanted to show here was just how many beautiful mature street trees we have along Fifth Street, Central Way. Within our property boundary, we have evergreen trees, well established. We really want to, again, be sensitive to this, retain as many of these trees as possible. We really want to retain all of these. We're also proposing eliminating the curb cut along Central Way. And when we do that, we'll be refilling in kind to match the street trees along Central. I'll also take this opportunity to reestablish what John said in that we're proposing vehicular access off of Fifth Street. We've been working with the Transportation Authority to really bring it back 150 feet off of this stop line here to work with their anticipated traffic requirements as Park Place becomes developed. Again, more street level views, speaking to the trees. These are the mature evergreens along our north property line. We have these really well-established mature trees along Central. And again, where we'll be removing the curb cut, we'll be kind of planting and filling in to really recreate this canopy that's already so established. Site context. As I stated before, we really have commercial commercial buildings down to our south that have the potential to get really big. To the north, we have smaller residential buildings, like Park 54, I think it's two or three stories tall. John mentioned the Terra apartments, slightly larger, and then these good-looking buildings up here. In addition, you all are familiar with the 450 site, 450 Central, which is proposing more rental apartments adjacent. Again, re-emphasizing kind of the residential nature of the projects to our north and the more commercial nature of our projects to the south. At this point, we really want to bring you into the fold and really describe how these massing schemes have evolved over time. Massing scheme one, our initial goal with any massing scheme is to really maximize the development potential of the site. And in doing so, we put all of the building out at our right-of-ways of Central, Fifth Street, and the private right-of-way of Fourth Avenue. You know, it's a great yield. However, we really felt like this was kind of like a fortress, and it really shut out the neighborhood. And ultimately, we decided it was a little too insular and not really appropriate for this site. Not really respectful of our neighbors either. How we evolved massing scheme two is that we broke the facade along Fifth Street, proposing two architectural masses oriented east to west. What this has the benefit of doing is really breaking up the facade at Fifth Street. What we wanted to do is create smaller building faces to respond to the more residential nature of the north. We still want a strong building face along Central Way to really respond to the commercial zone below us to the south. So we really want to maintain that strength at the street, reestablish a strong retail presence, at the same time breaking down the massing so that it responds and respects our neighbors. Again, this isn't quite perfect for us. We really want to evolve it even more. This connecting piece that connects the north and south masses doesn't really allow the porosity that we would really had hoped through this site. It's a little inefficient, and also it kind of creates some awkward units on the inside corners here and kind of restricts solar access as well. Which brings us to our preferred scheme, massing scheme three. You can see we've eliminated that connecting piece and have now two autonomous upper levels that again, break up the facade along Fifth Street, respond to the residential nature to the north and the commercial nature to the south. By eliminating this connecting piece, we really open up the porosity here. We really build upon what 450 Central Way is proposing, in which there's a lot of openness between the buildings, and we want to build on that. We want to create as much open space as we can. The more open space we have, the more we can landscape, and the more we can really bring the vegetation and liveliness from the street into this project. Also, we'll be increasing our visual access from this, from the residences out to the street, and from the street out to the residences, really creating a dialogue between public and private. And again, strength along Central Way to really respond to the commercial spaces. We took the liberty of bringing in some of our inspiration images, some of our kind of character images that we can see being applicable to this project. You hear me say over and over, we have this bridge between commercial and residential. And we want to really create an urban form, strong, clean urban form that responds to the commercial, yet really bring in kind of the residential nature to influence the design. And again, this is just kind of a refinement of our preferred massing scheme, just kind of a study to see, take some of these inspirational elements and kind of elevate this massing scheme a little bit more, just to illustrate, again, how we're going to articulate the mass and how we kind of have strength, but at the same time being respectful of our immediate vicinity. With that, I'd like to thank you again, and we look forward to your questions and feedback as we move forward.
Thank you. Let's start at the far end of the table. Mr. Mott, do you have any questions?
It looks like that the west property line that you share with the neighbor, is that a party wall condition? You're building right to the property line?
We will.
Okay. And between these two and the preferred scheme, three, between the two taller residential buildings, is that a one-story podium?
It is. It is. If we look at the plan quickly of our preferred scheme, which John already showed, we're proposing commercial parking that comes in off of Fifth Street, and that will comprise the majority of our kind of ground level development. We're proposing units along the landscape buffer, and units on these interior courtyards, and strong retail presence wrapping the corner. And then we're pushing our entire building back along Fifth Street to provide a really great landscaped area. And we'll be screening our parking, providing a really great landscape, and this landscape will be able to have a connection to this court at L2.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then what was the, I think in John's notes, there was discussion about a minor variation from the setback requirement.
What we'll be proposing is really methods of articulating the facade at the street. So you can see we're employing bays, balconies, these more kind of urban shed roof elements, and we'll be encroaching into the front yard setback with the bays, and we'll be, you know, the zoning allows us to have an equivalent of protrusion into and then pushing your building back from that 20-foot yard setback.
So that would be... How far are you asking to encroach?
I think we'll be encroaching 5 feet in. Okay. We haven't quite done a lot of measured drawings yet, but we anticipate the need to articulate the facade, and we think it will be beneficial to the project to, you know, activate these upper levels.
Mm-hmm. One last question.
Sure. Sorry. Yeah, keep going.
In the view on the upper right, the podium looks quite tall. Is that the white, I assume, is retail?
Yes. Yeah, it'll be retail with a lobby entry kind of in this area here. What you're seeing here is that we have pretty interesting site topography, let's say. That's probably best illustrated in the plans here. We are extremely high at this corner, and we slope downwards mm-hmm. towards the corner, and slope even more downwards to the west. Mm-hmm. So what you're seeing in that image is the zoning code requires us to have a 15-foot tall retail component there. So what you're seeing is basically the high side, and then, you know, that building face will effectively get shorter as the grade rises up to the north.
Okay. So you're not reflecting that grade situation in the elevation that Eric was just referring to?
Yeah, it's the grade is a little less dramatic along Central Way. You can see it's taller here than it is here. Mm-hmm. And if we were to get into the massing, you can see along Fifth Street that it gets quite steep up here, where in this corner it's effectively buried in the grade.
Okay. And then one last question on height. The height, and this is for you, John, the height measurement methodology is, how is that determined with all of that contour across the site?
Oh, it's so it's an average building elevation. So essentially what you do is you It's going to be what, a rectangle around the perimeter of the building, and then it's just the average elevations, and then whatever that is, that's where they can start the measurement.
Okay. And then that just applies to the entire site,
right?
It doesn't follow the contour.
Correct.
Okay.
Dave?
So, following up on that, the I look forward to seeing how the podium is, you know, actually developed to make an attractive pedestrian experience, because the wall is a little off-putting currently. And I like the 10-foot setback, just making more room. I think that's a nice feature. The option two had more texture in the face of the building along Central. Have you considered incorporating anything like that in to add more interest and more modulation on the face in option three? Is that possible?
Yeah, I believe so. I think we look forward to your feedback, and you know, these are intentionally simple masses, right? But yeah, we can see articulation happening along that building face.
And the shed roofs that are shown here sort of pick up the development to the west. Is that something you're seriously considering at this stage, or is that just a...
We feel, yeah. We've looked early with the client. We looked at kind of the variety of roofs that we could incorporate to really achieve this 4 to 12, and you have sheds, hips, gables, and as I mentioned in the presentation, this is a really urban site, and we're really right up against this big, tall commercial zone, so we really want something a little less residential, but still influenced by a residential nature.
Yeah, there's sort of a conflict there, and I appreciate your comments.
Yeah.
And I'm also curious about, on the west, the units, how much room is there for windows on your units on the west versus the structure to the west? How
yeah.
How does that work?
This proposal, all proposals, we are building to our own property line. And the units that are within these architectural elements here, the units face this way. So I know that 450 has intentionally set their own project back in order to put windows there. But we are proposing windows to the north and south of each bar.
Thank you. One quick question. One of the cons that you listed on scheme number one mentioned an ATM. Is that an automated teller machine?
It is.
So do we anticipate that one of the primary tenants will be a bank?
We do.
Wells Fargo
will be returning.
And any idea of the 9,000? Are they going to use a bunch of it, or...?
It's anticipated they would take approximately 3,000 square feet of the night, and they do desire an ATM machine.
Drive-up ATM machine, which we're going to be incorporating in our commercial parking in the garage.
So we drive essentially in underneath the level 2 courtyard to get to that as we descend down. Because I noticed some of the initial contours, our breakover is pretty quick. We drop right in.
You do.
Away, correct?
You do. Okay. And that's a result of working with SDOT to, you know, they really want the, what's that? Oh, it's not SDOT. Sorry. The Transportation Authority as it stands, they really want the garage location as far from Central as possible. But of course, we're fighting grade. And the more farther north we push it, the more grade we have to deal with. So we found that their minimum requirement of 150, we could make work.
Okay. Yeah. I share some of Dave's comments on the some aspects of scheme two I like better, especially on Central. I recognize this is very early in the rendering and the poche process, but the facade that is on Central, to me, needs more rhythm, needs more something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look at some of the overhead views and kind of looks like turbine blades or something that are so precise and so exact and duplicated, I'd strongly recommend variation that would give it a little more liveliness. And I assume that, that the white pedestal that's been referred to, it appears that the top of what I'm seeing there is actually the guardrail height or the safety rail height for that, for those units to get it to open out onto that.
Yes, you know, I don't actually illustrate a guardrail height in the massing schemes in an effort to keep the massing scheme simple.
Okay.
So this would actually would require, these are anticipated as occupied roof terraces,
right.
And then we would be developing, you know, safety 42-inch okay. rail height, and okay. whether it's part of the plinth or glass rails, we're not quite there yet, but
okay.
yeah.
And this is sort of a question to John and Jeremy. Is there any way that the model from Crab Cracker, the more detailed model, can be loaned or given to these applicants? So I know the central wave views and everything else
mm-hmm.
show this solid-looking building right next door, when actually that's the garage entry. That's a void. There is nothing there. You know, there are arcade posts. That first set of arcade posts define the entrance to the. Yeah, that isn't mm-hmm. there. That's a void. That where you descend just straight down, or straight into their parking area.
As Jay, Jeanette,
we've reached out to him, and we're in dialogue.
Okay, I didn't know if they're compatible or.
They have provided the model, and we do have it. We didn't want to insert it here and have that project at a different
level of finality. I understand. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I do like the pushing back 10 feet to preserve the trees, but that sort of joint right there, that juncture where the two things come together, I think is going to be pretty critical. And my last comment or thought is, I know the way the code, and it's not actually code, I think it may just be in the design regulation, state that you get the additional 8 feet when it's a 4 and 12 pitch to the roof peak. And I looked, and there's no definition in our zoning code for peak, what that means. When I look at this, I see you can't even reclassify it as a mansard roof or anything else, but it's basically flat roofs with little chamfers that get shedded and turbined, as I called it, at the edges. And I think it's going to read almost more as a flat roof building rather than peaks. The peak definition is letting you get through with that extra 8 feet, which I assume is a showstopper. If you can't get that, that upper floor doesn't go. So
it's very difficult to achieve the objectives
yeah.
without it. Yeah.
And with the turbine, the sheds that kind of catch the view and the wind to the west, it's going to look very, very similar to Crab Cracker. And I think it's going to almost seem like people look at it and go, gosh, you know, why weren't those, you know, developed together? So either they have to be different enough or something's going to have to happen to them if that form stays like that. And I lied, there's one last little comment, and that's it kind of gets back to this peaked issue. With that zero lot line on that west, that roof is not peaked at that point. We get a flat, you know, in fact, doesn't that require a parapet up there? When you get beyond, I mean, if you're at zero lot line, you can't put that roof, you got to have that 30-inch parapet, I think, that sticks up higher.
Yeah.
That,
to respond directly, I think we would advance the design to incorporate that pitch roof along that property line as well.
Okay. Okay. And then I'll following up that when we ask for what kind of graphic stuff we want to see, that I'll lead into that with that. So that's all I have for now.
Can I follow up just a question with
sure.
staff?
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting point. To get the additional 8 feet, you need a 4 and 12 pitch, but is there anywhere in the code expressing how much of how much roof you need to have at 4 and 12 pitch?
No. So that would be allowed, and then
you could just go up a foot, wouldn't you? With a 4 and 12 pitch, and you get 8 feet. It's ill-defined. Well, yeah, that seems kind of odd. I mean, and actually, in your overhead view that with pages 17, it shows, it appears that the front shed pitches are a little steeper than 4 and 12.
Actually, the roof pitches in the street facades are all 4 to 12. Oh, we're very rigorous about utilizing the 4 and 12 roof pitch to achieve the extra height. Okay. On the interior courtyard,
we get the flat ones.
Well,
the flatter pitch.
Yeah, and that is something that we incorporated into the design as a way to differentiate the interior facades.
Okay.
However, John has kind of, I wouldn't say dissuaded us from incorporating that, but it's something that we wanted to discuss with the board and see how you felt about having a 4 and 12 mated to a 1 and 12. And it's not prescriptive, but it does offer something different, something new, something dynamic. You know, and I know you guys have commented about the rigor of this street facade, but that rigor is really based on this 4 and 12 pitch. It really limits how wide your articulation can be if everything has to have a 4 and 12 roof. But yeah, you did notice that we're showing something different on the interior facades.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Scott? I have one quick question on the... Okay, you're going to take out the curb cuts and put landscaping in that area and then back it back 10 feet. Is that 10 feet then going to be used for your business space for restaurant use, and or is it just purely going to be public space, additional sidewalk?
Yeah, so the direction from staff was to anticipate that we'd need to develop a frontage improvement plan associated with Central and kind of dive into what's public, what's private in there, and how the setback works and engages with the retail. One of the challenges that we definitely see with the drive access at the, was it the west end with Crab Cracker, mm-hmm. is that transition and public-private and cars coming through there. So... we'll still have a little bit of work to do with the team to come up with that frontage plan. But
so when you say you're taking out the curb cut, are you going to take out all the parking in front of the building?
Parking on Central...
I think it's going to stay.
Yeah, it would stay. Yeah, all we're doing is eliminating the access that you could come in and drive into the site, which you currently can for the Wells Fargo, but can't for our proposed program.
On the proposals... I would say one of the things is that you have the nice break on 5th, and that's lacking on Central. And that is, see, on 5th, you have between the two building massings, you have a nice break with all the roofs. And I would, back to the ground floor, I would be looking at how are you incorporating those.
So is that the question?
Yeah, well, basically, there is no question, so I'll pass, but on when you're asking about the massing...
if I could summarize your comment, it sounds as though you're agreeing with your colleague and that maybe massing option 2, in which we have a little bit more articulation on the street frontage, little bigger gestures.
Let's... Can I just let's just hold on the exchange. We'll have a deliberation on that. This is a Q&A portion. We want to kind of stick to that format. Both of you and Tim get a slap on the hand for that. Anything else, Scott?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I have no questions.
Okay, I got a I have a few. So in terms of a partee, the preferred massing. If you can show us that one again. Your preferred massing plan?
Plan?
Yeah, your preferred massing image or whatever. Yeah. Can you show us the elevation view of that?
The advanced massing, where we took a little liberties with the...
That's fine. That's fine right there. So that part, I guess, I'd call sort of a sideways H almost. Did you guys consider at all reorienting the alternate orientation, which is the two buildings sort of perpendicular to central?
Yes, we have. Vigorously, and I'll bring up Scott, our owner of Weber Thompson, kind of elaborate on that a little bit more.
Oops, let's go back. So what we looked at in terms of a diagram, if the building, the Crabcracker building, they've done a really nice job of breaking up the massing along there and that courtyard that goes into there. So if you look at the diagram, what makes sense is that where we really want to cut into the project is on along Fifth Avenue. So as you're going up Central Way, you've got a massing portion from the corner over to part of the Crabcracker, and then we have the court, and then you have continued facade. So it just seemed to us, rather than running it the same way that the Crabcracker is running, that we run it the opposite again, so you break down the massing all the way around the site. So that was sort of the idea here.
And another comment that I'll make is earlier in the description of the site, I was talking about how there was commercial presence to the south and residential presence to the east and north. And if we reoriented the bar, we would have our strongest design feature against the residential and our smallest design feature on Central, and that really kind of in addition to all of our units facing ourselves,
sure,
and our property line here.
Take it back to the other massing that actually shows the adjacent.
Yeah.
There you go. So that you look at that, you can kind of see how we're cutting in to this larger piece here and breaking up the massing. Another issue is the topography that we have along Fifth Avenue and the steepness of the site itself in terms of turning those bars perpendicular. So I think it breaks up really nicely as you go up Central and also along Fifth.
Okay. All right. So on the pedestal, can you talk a little bit about what the drivers are for the pedestal? I understand it's one story at the street.
Mm-hmm.
So can you talk about what's driving the pedestal and where it's happening and why it's there?
Sure. I think it's best described in the plans that we do have drawn up. Zoning requires us to have commercial space along Central, and there's a 15-foot height requirement for these spaces. So that really gives us a strong street wall along Central Way. And regarding the rest of the podium, we have to accommodate commercial parking. And we thought that commercial parking would be best served right off of the right-of-way. You can see we actually descend further into the private garage in the sublevel. The rest is a program that we would like to incorporate into the project.
Okay, thanks. Hey, John, got a question for you. Can you remind us what the... conditions are for granting the setback exemptions? I think we looked at that with another project down the street, I think White Swan.
Right, White Swan and the Crabcracker. Really, it's just the two criteria, making sure that it's a superior design,
mm-hmm,
and that there's no adverse impacts with what they're proposing.
Okay.
And then we kind of got into a little bit of the quantitative, trying to figure out, well, if you're encroaching this much in, how much are you taking out? So there was some sort of that analysis as well.
Sure.
It's useful to have some measure.
Right.
Okay. Great. And can you tell us one more time where you're asking for that setback? Is that along Central then?
Yeah. We'll be, in essence, complying with the I'm sorry, I should rephrase that. Yes, we'll be applying for the variance along Central, and I believe we'll be asking for it along Fifth, but you can see that our building faces are so small,
sure,
then it'll really be a non-issue along Fifth.
Mm-hmm.
So are you saying that the residential area is going to encroach upon the open space in places along that level? It's not reflected in that plan.
Correct.
That correct?
That's right.
Okay. And then I know it's early, so understand that you know, it's conjectural somewhat at this point. On the Central Avenue elevation and the pedestal at the Central Avenue, what are your thoughts in terms of how that's actually treated at this point?
It's really difficult to say at this point. You know, we want to have thriving retail and probably expansive glass and
mm-hmm.
as much transparency to
mm-hmm.
really engage with the pedestrian experience there.
Okay. And so when you I know at the beginning of your presentation you said one of the principal objectives of the project is connect the pedestrian and the commercial activity east to west, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you say that, what does Weber Thompson feel or see as sort of the big moves that you make to try to facilitate that? And if it's okay to say it's too early, don't know
yeah.
yet.
That's a loaded question, and I don't think we're quite there yet. Do you have any comments, Scott?
The retail component, I think the basic choice might be there. Their building and then where is the crowd tracker?
This guy?
Yeah. Is it a pointer?
Yeah,
red button. Yeah, so you can see there, the final design of this has a sort of an arcade
mm-hmm.
where everything is overhung.
Mm-hmm.
I guess our feeling is that we actually push this back and we provide canopies and a little more natural lighting or solar access into that space rather than having this recessed sort of arcade
yeah.
feel. So there's a lot of development. There may be, there's going to be hardscape. There'll probably be some landscape. There'll be a big mixture of what we end up doing along this
mm-hmm.
this street facade. So.
Okay. There you go. Thank you. It's not the same. Yes, sir. Yep.
Well, with respect to the podium, along Central, from the east to the west, how much fall is there at the street level?
Yeah, I believe there's as much as 5 feet, I believe.
So have you ever considered what might happen in breaking the podium top height? Instead of having a straight line east to west at the top, have a couple levels.
At this level of development, we haven't. What we want to do.
It complicates things, but it might add interest.
True.
Okay. Eric?
One last question, simple one. On the plan, the courtyard plan, what is the dimension between the two buildings?
It's over 80 feet.
And follow up to that, and number of stories you've got, there's three?
Three stories
three
above
stories
the ground level.
So 30 by 80, roughly? 40? I guess 40 because you've got the roof. Okay. Dave, anything else? Any other questions? Tim? Scott?
No.
Carol? John? Jeremy? No? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So with the Q&A being complete, we'll enter into deliberations. And I think I'll start at the far end of the table again with Mr. Mott.
Again.
Eric, do you have some concerns, observations, thoughts you want to bring forward?
I think it's a nice start. I mean, I think I'm certainly amenable to the proposed massing alternative in general terms, the courtyard, east-west orientation of the courtyard. There's not a lot of development, because it's early, beyond that to respond to. So I think
mm-hmm.
Generally that plan organization seems viable. The podium does seem really tall along Central, and you know, the success of that I think will depend a lot on the materiality and articulation of that facade. It, in the drawings, it looks like it's much taller than it would need to be for the use that's in that space. And so one thought along the lines of some of the last comments were that, you know, potentially the podium could follow the contour. It looked like there was that opportunity north to south as well as potentially east to west, and that would really, I think, help the overall development fit the neighborhood, fit the land contour.
Sure. And that's where we ended up with White Swan, right? We ended up with this sort of a articulated,
we arrived there with what I assume was to be not repeated, was the allowance to go less than the 15 feet on the east end of that, correct? We let the retail space there have less than 15 foot.
Not exactly. I think that what we were fighting on White Swan was, I think, probably about twice the grade across the site. Mm-hmm. Trying to deal with the condition where they'd sunk the retail below sidewalk grade. I'm not seeing that here, and I hope that's not.
But we allowed that to be less than 15 feet on that.
Well, no,
no, on the back side.
Up, yeah, pushed up above out along the Central Way. They pushed up to 15 feet for the front section of the retail, and then it dropped back down, back behind.
Right, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
So, Eric, would be fair to say that there's sort of, it sounds like we may have two concerns here. One concern is the height of the pedestal. Mm-hmm. And the other concern would be in combination with the effects of the topography as you move west.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it creates an overall impression of a development that's much larger than it actually is.
Yeah, well, that's the reason I asked about did you consider the other alternative, right? Because that would be the sort of the straightforward way to solve for the concern about scale is just to face the narrow faces to the buildings towards Central. And I was thinking in terms of the, is it the 450 that's right next door?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The 450, that, you know, doing that, I mean, they didn't have much of a choice because of the infill nature of the site, but then the approach they took when they separated the two lobes of the building on Central is they opened that up and they provided this sort of urban statement with the elevator tower at the back, which is kind of a nice move. But I get why they do this, and Eric, I kind of see it the same way as you do. Is sort of the approach they're taking makes sense, but there's some measures that I think are needed to adapt it.
Well, I do have one concern about the way that it's illustrated currently, which is the party wall condition at the west. I think to the neighboring development, it seems a bit like it's crowding that development, and maybe unnecessarily so.
Yeah, and I'm looking for although I don't want to have this conversation just between Eric and I, but you know, if you take two sort of traditional buildings, just basic box buildings, and they have a party wall condition, it's a much easier thing to solve for. Here we've got a neighboring building that's going to be very articulated, and how those two meet, I think requires some attention in order to pull that off.
Think so, and if it's possible to meet the development objectives and give some breathing room to the neighbor, I think that would be preferable in terms of development solution. The architect spoke to the contrast between the courtyard roofs and the central facing roofs. I thought actually the roofs on the courtyard were quite interesting and were a unique kind of a take on what's happening at the neighboring development. If there's any discretion or leeway that we can grant as board, if there's room in the interpretation of the roof pitch definition, I think that's a very intriguing thing that could potentially make its way around other parts of the project.
Sure. Yeah.
So, unfortunately, at this point, I would say that, you know, the DRB's authority in terms of granting a variation on the roof forms, it's not there.
You're speaking with respect to the
zoning and the allowance for the additional height and the
controls,
right? The only thing I can think of at this point would be they'd have to request a variance and go through that process.
A separate process,
right. Maybe if the podium can take on some stepping and, you know, there's a resultant lowering of the building form, there becomes more flexibility under a height limit or something. I don't know.
Sure.
But we can't grant, you're saying we can't grant any variation.
On the roof height, yeah.
It almost seems like a gimmick. Wouldn't this work? You put up a 4 and 12 slope, just a piece of the distance, small distance, and then go more shallow from there up and get your 8 feet.
We get our gambrel out of that.
I mean, it's a game.
Well, yeah.
I think the objective...
The applicant can play it. The board can play it.
the objective of the 4 and 12 is, so looking there, it looks like it's a sloped roof, and you're not up in the air. You don't know, but it doesn't go very far, so it doesn't need to go very far, and you get the 8 feet.
But, Eric, your point is the variation in the courtyard, right? Is that what you're referring to in the two different roof
where there's
pitches?
Less of a slope there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and, I mean, one could argue that, you know, the primary roof that presents itself is the 4 and 12, and then it's the bay that has a somewhat different
impression. Right, right.
Right, so...
Yeah. I'm philosophically with you. How does the rest of the board feel about that design direction? I mean, when we did the review for 450, how that came about is we had a concern about sort of the double hip, right? The traditional hip that looked a little bit too residential for an urban street. And here, I think, to their credit, they're bringing something forward that already works. Any concerns, comments about that? Okay, I'll throw out one other one in about the pedestal in the courtyard. So right now, I know it's early. We haven't seen anything beyond just the box that's sitting in the courtyard. I have a big concern about sort of the tail wagging the dog here. We have what could be a pretty nicely. A nice gesture from an urban design point of view with this massive object plopped in the middle of it. And I'm thinking here of, I don't know if anybody's seen Juanita Village, the most recent condos built over there behind the fish and chips place. This massive pedestal, right, that's sitting there, and it's just unresolved. And it's clearly something where the rest of the design wouldn't have otherwise drove it. It's the program, it's the parking that drove it, right? So I personally, I'm very much against allowing the pedestal to exist in that space, and if it did, I'd have to see something personally that mitigated its presence to some major extent. Any thoughts on that?
I agree with that. And a question that I had was, what's the interface or the relationship between the lower level courtyard and the pedestal? Are they connected in any way? Has any thought been given to how they work together?
Can I address that question? In our plan, you can see that we're orienting our kind of amenity space for the residential units against this courtyard. Also, there'll be kind of private access to these units here. And then, you know, there's only the one level of difference between the court at L1 and the court at L2. So we feel that there's a lot of dialogue there between the two courtyards.
Yeah, the board, my concern is more at this on the east side of that pedestal and what it's saying to the street.
So your concern is what? It's not the presence of that pedestal, it's what it looks like from Fifth.
Well, it's not just the way it looks. It's that it's undoing an urban gesture that I think could be really positive, which is to leave that courtyard open.
Yeah, the porosity that was.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's that porosity that we talked about. I understand it's expensive to have below grade parking, and this is a big cost factor for the applicant. But that's the concern I have.
Well, in reading this plan, it looks like the parking is actually. You enter and you go down a ramp
right.
at 10-15%. So I think the profile of that podium on Fifth could be quite minimal and blended.
I'd be interested to see what that actually looks like in sections so I could make that judgment.
I think a couple of sections are really
important. Yeah. But again, I mean, that's, to me, that's the opportunity here is you know, we don't want to reiterate what happened at 450, which is a great thing, but I think what I don't want to see is this big box plunked down in a space that could be from the street side something that would be very positive for the neighborhood.
Some of the comments, the bullet points in there on the preferred scheme too were talked about, and it was in quotes, holding the corner at ground level, and I don't see anything really other than that there is a corner there at 5th and Central. I know at White Swan there was a big to-do about what happened at the corner, and here, you know, we're not addressing it at all at this point. I'm bringing it up because I think I'm looking to see where the 3,000 square feet is going to go for the bank and how the ATM drive-through and all that's happening. And I'm trying to guess it. Where's the restaurant? Where's the bank? I know way, way back when, it was way before my time, and probably a bunch of the DRB members, the notion of, is a bank superior retail? And this goes all the way back to Bank of America. Does the bank want to have lots and lots of glazing? I mean, is it at that corner? Do we do anything to address the corner? You know, those kind of things. And I don't know what holding the corner means other than you're not going to evacuate and make a void there that says corner entry or enter on the diagonal. Do you want it to either enter on 5th or enter on Central and hold the corner, if that's what I'm reading? And as a board, I don't know if we need to address that, as it's a real major pedestrian, or it's going to be more of a major pedestrian element. Yes, it's got the sheet metal blue Acropolis across the street now with this funky drive-through parking there, but that may not be there all the time. We don't know. It's such a small site, I can't imagine it ever getting redeveloped in any other way. But here's a major corner that's going to be across from a hotel, a health club, who knows what, and we're, you know, we need to see what's that going to be. What does that become? Initially, when I looked at this prior to the meeting tonight, I was kind of along with Jim about, let's turn the thing 90 degrees. But now that I hear the rationale and see it a little bit more, I'm not so convinced that I want to turn it. I do still have some major concerns that Central Way facade have more rhythm, more you know, variety to it. I do see a slight little indent in the floors, and it's sort of not there in plan view, but it is in the 3D stuff, that there's at least an indent apparently in the decks and we'll call it the pedestal there. Is that possible to repeat that elsewhere or make that sort of establish a rhythm rather than just sort of, you know, fall along one of the balcony or bay window lines up above? And does that get a different canopy treatment? Does it, you know, is that an entry of sorts? It appears to be the lobby entry. I assume that means lobby for the condominiums.
Help us understand what's the actionable point here?
Well, it's very early in the process, but I see, and I call it the turbine. I see these just deadly repetitious turbine elements up on above, and you know, they're just marching along. There's no rhythm. There's no. If you go to the year sheet 17, which you go two more, that aerial view from above, the one that's just right there on the lower left, you know, I see a slight indent in the white pedestal that sort of appears to be the third bay over from the west. You know, is that something that we're going to make into something? Does it establish enough of a vertical modulation that we can see this not as one massive long?
So that's the concern there is on the pedestal on Central. We're looking, we've already talked about a vertical articulation,
yeah,
right, as it runs down Central. And I think there's a lateral articulation that we're looking for as well.
Perhaps it's not going to be a massive building, but I do think it may need to have some horizontal modulation to help break it up.
Well,
I can understand from their perspective, extremely difficult to change that podium level because you're changing the unit floor heights and everything else. That's a really difficult thing to achieve.
Yeah.
Rather than just letting the bottom of the the storefronts follow the grade and the
sure. Well, I think we'll have to see how the applicant comes what he comes back with, but I think there's a couple of ways that this could go, and that pedestal could be articulated something similar to what the arcade does, at least to the extent of it sort of starts to keep pace with what's happening above it. Or there's some other plan that they implement that provides more variation and something that looks a little more random. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that thing, I think the board's, is it safe to say the board's expectation would be we're looking for something that shows some lateral articulation.
And I would request to make sure that we see at least some 3D views, elevation views, and everything else in the dead of winter when the deciduous are naked as could be, and we see way more building rather than this glorious canopy of greenery. And I guess the question to Scott, too, we don't know what the type of trees are. They're not the ones that the city doesn't like.
They're London Plains.
They're London Plains, which I thought that we don't like because of the root damage and the upheaval and sidewalks and everything else.
I don't know if you've had contacted an arborist yet, but I think looking at that and setting the expectation about whether or not those trees are really good candidates for long-term compatibility, that we can start to look at that in the future.
Well, I think the concern I think that we'd want to make sure we check is that we may want to have that arborist report early. I mean, if the trees have to come out regardless, would that change the design approach? Mm-hmm. Right.
Very well could. I guess question to the applicant is, are we holding that 10 feet back because there's such large crown that is...
I think it's kind of a couple things. One, the trees do provide a nice buffer.
Thank you.
There are a number of things. I think the trees do provide a nice buffer for the residential uses above in terms of livability. The other component... the retail to be really thriving, I think part of the thought process with Weather Thompson is to try to create a little bit of more engagement on the street. Some of the problems with these arcades that extend out significantly into the street is they can become rather dark spaces in which to rent, and the connectivity of that retail use to the street becomes harder and harder to rent and occupy. So part of the thought process that Weber Thompson brought to the table was, from their retail experience, to the extent that they can pull the building back and implement canopies and kind of engage with the landscaping, they'll get a much more vibrant retail character that's more a mixed-use income community rather than a block arcade that the retail has shoved back quite a bit.
Got it.
From.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. So going back to John's, when I asked John for clarification about what the qualifications were for the variance on the setback, and because we spent some time on it with the White Swan project, I wanted to sort of bring it back. Not that we have to crystallize here what superior design is. You know, it's that old question, we know it when we see it, but I mean, superior design, what was superior design for White Swan? What was the equivalent of that? It was public space for the most part, right? It was allocating public space on the street for pedestrians. So I'd like to propose to the board that we provide the guidance that indicates that in exchange for that variance, the superior design has to be something that's comparable. Right. It's so we want something more than just what the design guidelines require. Any comments about that, Eric?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, based on what we've reviewed tonight, understanding that the courtyard is, in excess of 80 feet in width. I don't see any constraint that would prevent meeting the setback, and that would have any material impact on the development goals.
Right, I agree.
I don't think what they're proposing is necessarily detrimental, but it's not superior either.
Right. So. Right. And does the board have any of you have any thoughts about what if it was public space, what where we would want that public space? In other words, or some adjectives that describe that public space, right? My go-in assumption is when we ask for that, if we ask for it that specifically, I'm looking for something that's accessible to the public, mm-hmm. right? So it's something that both residents and the public would enjoy as superior design.
I think public space is a really good alternative in exchange. I mm-hmm. think another possible one maybe I'd put on the table for us to consider is in exchange for any area within that setback, there would be some substantial offsetting modulation along Central.
Okay.
Or at the west boundary with the neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The public space you're talking about, Jim, probably is on Central at, you know, at Streetscape right there. That's the one area that the public would benefit from it. I'm again thinking back to Bank of America. I think there was quite a bit of space given up at the corner for a large courtyard there that has de facto become a nice public space. You don't have a sense at all that you're walking through private property when you are, in fact, but it seems to work well. If this becomes public space that has, you know, velvet ropes and bollards for the restaurant behind it, where you can't, you know, yes, it's open space, there is open volume there, but you can't walk in it, then I don't think that is considered a superior uh-huh. solution to it.
Uh-huh. And
it obviously, the courtyard between the buildings, when viewed from Fifth or the entry to the Terra garage or the Acropolis, that's it's open space, but there's no way that that's going to be considered public.
Right. Well, if it's something like public space, I think it needs to be publicly accessible in a prominent location. And to me, going back to White Swan, it was something that was at the corner. It was that's a prominent location. Or the Bank of America is a great example as well, where it's actually out there where as a feature. And you know, thinking about that, you know, in considering this intersection and its proximity to the entry for, it's right across the street from the Park Place entry, is it not? What will be the Park Place entry? I believe it is. So it's appropriate to have a gesture like that. But is the board on the same page with Eric as well that you know it's either that or it's substantial articulation or it's some other offsetting move that mitigates.
Don't you think that there's a combination too?
Or a combination of those factors. The challenging thing for us is that we know it when we see it type of thing. We can't sort of quantify what it is.
It'd be great to see alternatives.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Any other comments, Carol?
Well, we were talking about that southeast corner, and I think most of the discussion was about what happens at retail level, but I also think there's an opportunity for a massing gesture possibly there, too. Looking at this view, everything sort of, it's kind of a non-statement in the building itself, so I think that might be a corner that's looked at architecturally too.
A negative or a positive statement.
A negative or a positive or, yeah, something that breaks with the regular rhythm of that south facade.
Are the thoughts on the board on that? See Tim shaking his head?
Yeah.
Eric?
I would concur.
I think Jeremy's comment about negative or positive is a good one. I mean, the knee jerk is a tower, but in a negative sense, I mean, you could do something again more like a B of A or whatever, where they carve away and you mm-hmm. that's that substantial design or significant.
Unfortunately, that carving away is prime retail space that's carved out of the pro forma. So.
Yeah, it's at Central at Wood Street?
Fifth.
Corner.
I'm more less struck by the opportunity there than the opportunity to somehow break up the repetitive nature that I see here. I'm happy with the H as it is, I mean the orientation as it is, and the argument that this space is, that the 80 Central Way, you know, is commercial, etc., and it warrants a different treatment. But I'm really looking for a lot of added interest in texture in what we see.
Sure, me too. Something just occurred to me, looking at the, on the north property line, looks like right now, you know, it's copy-paste. When we looked at 450, there was an explicit differentiation between the roof forms on Central and what was shown to the north. Any thoughts on that?
And my thought on the Central is that it is very residential looking right now,
mm-hmm.
and it needs to have a greater urban feel, and it does need, I mean, we've beat the repetitiveness to death, and it's still just a basic form, but it seems like it needs a greater breakup, similar to their, you know, second option.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm almost, I kind of feel like, the abruptness on the east side, or not the east, but the west side facing the neighboring property is so harsh, and then you're coming up with something that is so similar to what your neighbor has.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's historical precedent for sort of echoing a design gesture if it's particularly strong. I'm kind of in the same boat as you, though, in thinking about, we just talked about the design gesture at Central and Fifth, right? And whether or not it makes sense in terms of what Eric was talking about and how the project meets 450, whether or not it's appropriate to consider a change in that rhythm so that it sort of eases how it meets 450, right? I personally am okay with sort of that continuation of that rhythm because it's such a strong gesture, and thinking about looking down Central from east to west and seeing that sort of march on down and sort of being a version of each other, might be kind of interesting to see that. But at the same token, I think there's some opportunities here to kind of put away the rubber stamp.
One of the things, though, that made the 450 successful was that there was a big break.
Yeah, they broke it. They turned it. And this has promising aspects of that. Like if you go into the courtyard, and I'm with Eric on this, those roof forms in the courtyard, actually, I think those work pretty darn well. I mean, it's real way early in the process here, but think about those kind of roof forms and then think about what they're using on the north side and think, okay, let's give this a little bit more thought. And so I think the general guidance that I'd like to propose for the north elevation is reevaluate your approach to roof forms on the north, given that that's a residential site. It's keeping with their stated design approach. But again, I think some break or articulation in the march of the Titans along Central is probably appropriate. And I'm not very articulate, but I think we're talking the same thing. Dave or Tim or Carol, any?
I think we just need to see further development, really, to provide a whole lot more feedback.
Okay.
I would be a lot more inclined to be strongly in favor of something that comes a little closer to number two on the Central side of it. And I'm thinking there's some, there were sort of some bookend outies, if you will, at either end. The court, inside courtyard at L2, there, it seems that that, unless there's going to be a super, you know, bocce court or something, you know, that needs to be that rectangular, is there not a way to sort of let units poke into the courtyard? Because they, at the same time, will be recessed off of Central a little bit.
Sure.
Get some in and out there. And I'm more than inclined to say, if you give up some stuff on Central by going beyond the 20 feet, you can let some stuff poke out, because it will give you some ins and outs and make the courtyard perhaps more interesting.
So what you're seeing is appealing about number two is it's sort of, it's the anti this, right? And I think we can allow, I would suggest we can allow the applicant to come back with something for us to review that's sort of more responsive on both counts.
Yeah,
right?
And it's kind of, scheme two looked a little bit sort of Heathman-esque to me in the sense that it's kind of got the two bookends. Not that it's, I don't want to cast it in that light.
Yeah, yeah, gotcha.
It did formally, form-wise, it did have that big recess in the middle,
mm-hmm.
that, because, you know, that would be pretty deadly if it was just that straight unbroken. But I think the courtyard can certainly accept some ins and outs programmatically and not suffer one bit.
And I think in responding to I'd suggest rather than be that explicit with it, I think that might be a consequence of the design guidance that we give them coming out of this discussion.
I guess I'm more inclined to say, yeah, go ahead and give me, I'll let you go closer to Central if you give up something and get some more room,
gotcha.
And some ins and outs there that gives it more visual interest.
All right. So we'll,
doesn't hurt.
So before we finish here, since we're closing in on that, I'll kind of read off what I think we have. And look for consensus from you guys, and I think because in giving them design guidance on the on these key spots of the elevations, we might get to where I think you're talking about going when we see what they come back with. Scott, anything else from you?
No, I think probably they should look into the whole factors about the trees.
Yeah,
because if I remember right. Aren't they up on mount? Doesn't it mound up from the street, and that's where the trees are planted?
I think the elevation there is just higher at the north end of the property, with a slight mound maybe down to the parking lot.
Yeah. Doesn't look like it to me. Okay, Dave, anything from you? Anything else? So let me go through in terms of deliverables back, review materials, and give you some thoughts that I've got, and then please add to that. And this is in addition to all the typical floor plans, etc. For sure on any site like this, we got sections both ways, okay? Because of where the site is, I think it might be prudent to have sections that go through the building and across the both adjacent properties. So if we're looking north-south, we'd see a section down through the condominiums, through the buildings, and then across the street in the first part of Park Place, and comparable the other direction. We're not looking for excessive amounts of detail in the neighboring properties, just to get a sense of how these two buildings meet. I'm looking at you a lot, but I'm talking to the board. It's because you have such a friendly face. likewise for elevations. Looking at Eric for...
Yeah, and I'm nodding, and I guess I would add to that. For me, it's helpful to see true... you know, measured elevations.
Yes.
Orthographic views, not views of the model. You know, with dimensions. And
yep.
All that.
Yep. and I think when we're coming back, we're looking for something more substantive from the applicant in terms of what they're actually proposing initially in terms of materials, articulation, maybe preliminary landscaping moves, etc. Mechanical. Just want to see where the principal mechanical is. I think that's just probably just a roof plan and elevation. let's see. And I think the other thing, another note I had is, but it's more for the guidance piece, is an arborist report on the trees. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, do we want anything else? Perspectives.
So that includes how the open space on the central was going to be planned out.
Yes. Yeah. So now I'll go through that. I'll go through the actual guidance, which will talk speak to the.
Go ahead, Eric.
Oh, I would just add, on the ground level plan, if the contours were clearly labeled and spot elevations of the program spaces.
Okay. Got that, John?
I have a question. On the perspectives, you know, you have your standard perspectives from all sides. Are there any particular areas that you want perspective drawing?
Well, I think the first question for the board is do we want perspective views?
I'd like to say that we'd like somewhat interactive 3D model that can be, we don't say, you know, look here, but you can, I don't know what software you're using, but if it's SketchUp or Revit or whatever, ability to.
But it, I think in general, any fixed view should be at pedestrian eye level.
Yeah.
And I'd like to suggest if we could get views, a fixed view from, I guess it would be from the east looking west, right? So
uphill looking downhill.
Yes. East looking west. So you're seeing, it's essentially top right. Thank you. And then, board, if you think another one from fifth, either looking south or looking north, or if the one perspective will be sufficient. Thoughts?
Well, I'd like to make sure and see one that shows Crab Cracker 450, you know, sort of left foreground with, you know, and that would be taken from the southwest across the street, I guess. Maybe in front of the nail salon, straight, you know, across the street from that, but looking back at an angle, because you'll see 450 with 460.
Okay. No, so you're just saying from the opposite, it's the opposite view of upper right.
Kind of,
okay. Kind so of just those right. Just those two perspectives for now?
I think it'd be interesting to see a perspective of the north from south, too.
I was saying if you're across the street actually looking up and seeing how it's going to look.
Okay.
Fifth.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm hearing three fixed views. Mm-hmm. So upper left, or excuse me, upper that upper right, then the opposite of the upper right, and then a view from the south looking north. Okay. All right.
I think a site plan, a detailed site plan with the landscape plan showing that enhanced sidewalk experience on Central,
yep.
Courtyard, landscape.
Yeah.
There's quite a big landscape.
And I think the particular focus there is seeing what the proposed public spaces are going to look like, or just open spaces. Okay.
And if it's not too much trouble, some schematic wall sections, if you will, especially through that podium as it meets Central. I know on both Crab Cracker and White Swan, we sort of never really knew exactly what the relationship was from where people could stand in their patios or their balconies outside looking out over the street. You know, we had building sections.
Okay, so you're talking about an enlarged section of Central.
But not huge. I mean, still very schematic. I don't need to see, you know, materials yet and
right.
structure, but just...
Got that, John?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Especially as the grade drops from east to west, and that pedestal height increases, what is that experience?
I think the general guidance here is we're not looking for the applicant to provide exhaustive detail. We want these materials to assess what design direction we're going in, right? Mm-hmm. Materials. Preliminary materials list. Stated materials, nothing. Do we need? We don't looking for samples yet. Too early for samples. Okay. Great. Anything else on that? Great. Let me walk through what I think I have in terms of board guidance.
Okay.
As always, board, if there's anything that we need to amend, speak up. The pedestal height on Central is of a concern. We'd like to have the applicant look at reducing it and or mitigating its height through our vertical and lateral articulation, stepping down with the topography if possible, but also stepping back and to what extent that it could. Now, so here we're talking about not the big moves, we're talking about basically articulation. Linked with that, we have a request from the board for the applicant, consistent with the request for the setback exemption, and in seeking the superior design. I think we've all agreed that there's not a detrimental impact in granting the setback variance, but in looking for that superior solution, the board is looking for urban design gestures at the corner of 8th and Central, and the board is additionally concerned about how the project meets 450, and we think that between the goal of getting superior design and mitigating the impact of the pedestal, there's a solution there to possibly make some larger moves, additive or subtractive, to accomplish that. And I'm being intentionally vague on direction, right? We want to allow that design flexibility. Okay. Board has got a concern about the impact of the courtyard pedestal. I think what the board's interested in is seeing it with more specifics, what it looks like. The concern from the board is its impact at the street on 8th.
Fifth.
I don't know why I have 8th in my head. So reduce, eliminate, or treat appropriately to be a little more welcoming to the experience at the street. Okay, we mentioned the arborist report before the next hearing. Okay, and I think that's what I have. It's basically what I have. Did I miss anything? No, John?
Just want to clarify on the massing options. I kind of heard maybe it was like a combo massing option, two on along Central, and then I think I heard the board saying the kind of that east-west building orientation was.
I'm gonna amend that. I know what Tim said about the massing number two, but that's an awfully formal
right
appearance to the street. I don't think we're look. I would check that with you guys. We're not looking for something that formal from the street. I think what Tim was getting at is that it makes modulation moves. I think the board generally supports the proposed approach design. The applicant's proposed three, yeah.
With additional modulation on
yes.
Central. Okay.
Yeah. Anything else?
Well, I like the comment that on Central we should be looking for an urban feel, and this may be, as presented here, may be a little on the suburban side.
Okay. The board in agreement with that? Okay. So the I think the message from the board is that I think the applicant was of the same mind, basically that there we should have an urban presence on Central and a more residential appearance in the north and perhaps on 5th. But we're concerned that the proposed design right now is a little bit too residential on Central. Are you wrinkling your brow, John? Yeah.
I think everything is good. The only thing I maybe missed, just want to clarify. So on the minor, on the setback reduction, one of the criteria was accessibility for the public.
So the public space has to be prominent, prominently placed and publicly accessible.
Yeah.
If the applicant chooses to
right.
to use that as its superior design move.
I have some questions, staff.
Yes, sir.
The proposal to pull back the commercial
mm-hmm.
5 feet, is that a public benefit? Could be then used to trade?
I think if it results in wider sidewalks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that maybe already may be a significant public benefit that's being offered.
Mm-hmm.
The place, and I think I hear the board saying this too, to an extent, is the be careful that it doesn't result in a sheer wall. So if you have more sure. verticality instead of the stepping, that's
sure.
more, you may have more public space, but you may have lost some of the mass and moves in the building.
Well, that's a good clarification, which actually raises a question now in my mind. Is the 20 feet a setback from a property line or a step back from a building face?
Setback.
Setback?
Setback. So they're asking for a minor variation to a setback from a fixed property.
From a PL.
Oh, right.
But they've already provided.
Yeah.
But there are step back guidelines also, so it's,
right.
it's a little bit off.
Okay. Anything else from the board? Does the applicant have any questions before we finalize this? Okay. All right. We're going to continue this.
Nope.
Jeremy, are we going to close this hearing?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Any other business before I call for a motion to adjourn?
Nothing from staff.
No. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you. 5 minutes. You want me to trash it? Do you want me to get it off the computer? Because I copied it onto the book.
I gave mine.
I copied it onto the book.